On behalf of the Professional Baseball Strength and Conditioning Coaches Society, I'd like to welcome you to the PBSCCS podcast. I'm your host, Chris Messina. All right, everybody, I'm here with Joseph Miranda, the Cincinnati Reds organization. Joe, thanks for coming on, man. Appreciate your time. Tell the listeners about yourself, if you would, please.
Well, yeah, that's cool. I appreciate you having me and giving me the opportunity. But, I mean, like you said, this is my second year at the Reds, second year in AA with them. We were actually in Pensacola last year. So we moved to Philly as we signed a new player development contract this year with the Chattanooga Lookout. So, made the move up to Chattanooga, which is, it's good for me. Like, it's close to where I'm from. I'm from Maryville, Tennessee, which is like, yeah, roughly 90 minutes, like kind of northeast. So, I was happy about it. I like the city a little better, than Pensacola. But, before that, I started, my career in baseball at the Rockies in 2014. Spent 2 years there in Grand Junction, 2014 and 2015 with them. And then 1 year at the Red Sox as well, so worked alongside you. I was in Lowell, their short season there, and now I'm second year at the Reds, so it's been going good from that perspective so far.
For sure, man, and I'm sure you've seen some good stuff and you've been in some good cities, so I'm interested in your best professional baseball story, whether it's a memory you have or something of a success story or even something that got lost in translation along the way. Just what's your best story or memory that you have?
Okay, so I don't think I have a ton of great ones. We'll go with one from last year, though. So we made the playoffs last year in Pensacola. We didn't win the first half. We kind of had a little mini collapse in the second half, but we were able to get in via overall record. So we played Biloxi in the first round. We had to play it's best 3 out of 5. We had to play the first two at their place, and then one at ours, depending on what happened. So we play at their place, and obviously it's about a 2 hour trip. So we stay at the hotel there. We split, so we had to come back home, but we knew we had to come back to Biloxi. So we commuted to our own home game, first of all. So we left the hotel in Biloxi. We're going to play that night and then come back to Biloxi. So that was weird as it is. And on top of that, we get on the bus, we commute to our home stadium, and we get there and realize that we don't have any bats. Like, the bats did not get on the bus. All right, so I think the Biloxi Visiting Club, you forgot to load them. I forget exactly what happened, but, you know, we get there at, like, I don't know, 1:30, 2 o'clock, and we have BP and we have no bats. So we're trying to figure out how to get the bats, and the club, you can't get here. But, you know, lucky for us, the umpires actually hadn't left yet for the game. So they were able to go by the Biloxi clubhouse, pick up our bats, and the guys were able to get a few swings in the cages and kind of went out there and played almost kind of cold turkey there. But I'm sitting there thinking, here we are commuting to our own home stadium. We got to go back to Biloxi that night, and we don't have any bats, and we're like 3 hours from the game. So it's just kind of summed up our second half of there in one little episode, but
that's actually incredible, and it's so minor league, it hurts.
it's like, yeah, I mean, I didn't really know what to say, and it's still, me and my trainer, we still get a kick out of that even this year. It's just one of those things, man.
Yeah, you're gonna have laughs about that for a long time. Someday you'll have your kids and your grandkids, and you'll just be like, "I got a story for you. You really want to know how minor league baseball is? This is it right here."
Like that Instagram account, Minor League Grinders. I don't know if you've seen that, but that's the same type of stuff, man.
Yep, exactly. We've all kind of seen or had something happen in our own right. Maybe not exactly that, but something where we're like, "God, this is just so minor league." So one of the reasons I wanted to have you on, you wrote an article for the PBSCCS titled "A Minimalist Approach to Supplements." I haven't had many talks about supplements on here, so I'm really interested to get your thoughts, dive into the article, and then kind of just go from there, man. So I'm going to give you the floor, maybe talk about what the article is, what you were hoping to get out of it for, you know, for people who are reading it, and then just any other information that we can kind of share. Let's do it.
Yeah, man. So like you said, I wrote the article last year. Kind of goes along with, I guess, my belief on supplements as well as the Red, which are kind of aligned pretty well. And like you said, the title is taking kind of a minimalist approach. Like we all know, as strength coaches, we are, for lack of a better word, in charge of the supplements. We order them, we deal with them, and we distribute them to the players and things like that. But And from my point of view, there's no need to, I guess if you want to say rely on several limits or have an abundance or a high amount of them, you know, all around, where players just become relying on them or just take them because they taste good. So I just wanted to kind of highlight a few that I've used in the past that have worked well for me that are pretty simple and that the players seem to like as well and can provide benefits. So I highlighted three in the article, three specific, genres of supplements. So one's a protein powder. I'm sure everybody's uses some type of protein powder. What I like to use is the BiPro powder. I'm sure the listeners, some of them may have heard of it. But the thing is, they come in individual package, which I think is good. So guys can take them with them on the road and the weight room. They're much more portable than obviously a big tub with a scooper. It only has 6 ingredients. It's low calorie, 20 grams of protein. It's an isolate, so it's quickly digested. Guys have given good feedback, and it's worked really well for us, keeping it pretty simple like that. Another one is, it's called the Right Stuff. It's a hydration supplement. Another one that comes in individual packets, which I think is obviously beneficial, like I just said. As opposed to maybe like a Cytomax or a sports drink, doesn't have any sugar. Especially, it's just a liquid concentrate, and you add it to your drink. It helps the body from overheating and helps increase endurance. Just got natural flavor and citric acid, and just some sucralose, which is a non-carbohydrate sweetener. It can be a little strong. Some guys think it's a little strong and kind of taste, a little, I guess, sour or just kind of tangy, but it works really well. Again, it's a little more on the expensive side, but I think it's great. Another one, just to keep it simple. The last one I highlighted in the article was the Honey Stinger Waffle, which is what we here at the Reds use as kind of our in-game supplement. So we have them in the dugout. I don't know if you're any of the listeners familiar with this, like the Stroop Waffle. It's kind of that consistency and that look to it. But the main ingredient and energy source is honey. So just kind of a natural form of energy and antioxidants. Like I said, it's the main carbohydrate source. And it's just really easy to eat, real quick. Guys get a quick carb source they can have during the game, and they go on. So those are kind of three main ones right there. Like I said, a protein, a hydration, in-game supplement. You're going to have other ones as well. I mean, a lot of guys, they like to take a pre-workout. You probably have some type of, a Cytomax, some other type of hydration supplement as well. But there's no need to just run the gamut, I think, and blow up your budget and have a lot sitting out there for just guys to kind of take as they want. There should be a reason why you're taking your supplements.
Which is so funny, because I was just having this conversation with somebody the other day. Like, baseball, the two big things that I've seen is, one, pre-workouts get drank during the lift and they never get finished.
Right.
And two, if it's a colored drink, they love it. They'll literally drink it and then be like, hey, what was that? And you're like, why are you drinking that? Like, what was your purpose? Well, it looked colorful, so I'm sure it's beneficial for me. It's like,
right.
You're just grabbing stuff just to grab stuff. So I think, like you said, kind of a minimalist approach where if they have a reason for taking it, then take it. And if not, it's just there burning through budget, basically, like you said.
Absolutely.
So kind of along those lines, do you have any additional recommendations outside of your article, or have your thoughts changed at all, or would you stick with those three as your big three, so to speak?
Yeah, so I wrote that last year, and we're still using those three. Another one that we're using is a beet juice supplement or beet powder. It's called Beet Elite. It's these little individual packets of beet juice powder, right? So, we use it as kind of a pre-workout as well. It promotes the nitric oxide within your body, so it's kind of more of a natural pre-workout as opposed to a P4 or something like that. The beet powder has no caffeine in it, and some guys like it, some guys don't. Again, it can taste kind of, funny if you've never tried it before, but you just mix it with water. It kind of gives you a natural quick source of energy. And I think we pretty much all our affiliates, we use that in some form or fashion. So that's another one I definitely recommend.
Yeah, for sure. We have a guy here who's very, very high on, he calls it the beet train. And he'll make his own beet juice every day. And he's got a few cups for guys that he likes to give out to. And I'm always one of them. And he always comes in. And I'll make him a protein shake before the game, and he'll make me a beet juice, you know, early in the day or whatever. And it's kind of our eye for an eye exchange, so to speak. So, nah, man, that's good. I appreciate you kind of sharing, and hopefully the listeners will go to the PBS CCS website and check that article out. And there's a lot of good information in there. Any chance you're writing another one in the future or anything along those lines, or are you kind of set with that one article as your go-to?
Right now it's my go-to. Definitely open to doing it again in the future, but no concrete plans as of now, I'll say.
Gotcha, for sure. So kind of transitioning a little bit, what do you believe in within strength and conditioning that others think you are crazy for believing? Is it along the lines of supplements, or do you have something else?
I'll go to something else. And just on the surface, like, the sentence could be construed as crazy, but I'll get into it a little bit, is that guys can lift every day during the season and be good with that. So what I mean by that is kind of what I've experienced some this year is what kind of the Reds use and a lot of guys that started in our big league camp have used this. It's what we call kind of the daily dose program. So guys will come in there and kind of include this in part of their routine every day, especially at home. A little harder to do on the road. They'll take 3 to 4 lifts, and over the course of a week, by doing it every day, you've hit your 2 total bodies or whatever it may be that you want to hit. But you just come in, it can almost be more of an activation. So you do 2 to 3 sets of certain exercises, get in, get out. And by dosing your body a little bit each day, you kind of take that, kind of keep your body at a homeostasis where you're getting that lifting activation to your nervous system every day. So it's not more of an up and down where you do a total body one day, you wait 3 or 4 days, do another one, and your body has to work a little harder to recover for some guys. Now, some guys don't like it, some guys do. The guys that have done it have seen some good results in terms of just feeling more consistent each day and having just a little more burst of energy. Some guys like to do it right before a game. It kind of gives them that activation they need. So I've told some people before, yeah, we got guys that lift every day. Well, on the surface, that may sound a little crazy during a baseball season, but we've seen some good results from it with guys, I think.
Yeah, and if I could take a guess, I would say you're probably adjusting volumes and sets and reps and even just exercises based on maybe the travel you've had, or maybe you have a longer home stand, you have more availability in terms of equipment, things like that. Are you guys adjusting kind of accordingly with that?
Sure, definitely. We kind of run through a cycle, like an 8 to 10 week cycle, and we'll do a deload week in between that as well. And like you said, at home, you know, it's much easier, obviously. At our facility in AA, we obviously have our own weight room, but places we go, they don't have a visiting weight room. So sometimes we'll have our own equipment. Sometimes guys will do it on the gym bus. So we're always adjusting for various factors, as opposed to, you know, like a big league setting where you have your weight room pretty much everywhere you go, you know.
Yeah, right on. I've talked to a few people this year, and it kind of seems like some teams are starting to actually do that. And like you said, just in terms of an activation standpoint and a movement standpoint, you can pull it off for sure.
Yeah.
So what makes a strength and conditioning coach successful in your mind, maybe in general and then more specifically in the professional baseball setting?
Yeah, that's a good question. That's something that, you know, I've thought about a lot, and I'm sure a lot of strength coaches think about whether it be taking stock at the end of the year or their day-to-day go about things. But I think ultimately it's about, you know, earning the respect from your athletes. Obviously there's various ways to do that, and everybody has their own style. But for me, specifically working with baseball players involves a few different things. Just one, taking an interest in their career. Get to know them a little bit, develop a relationship with them. Whether that's, it could be something as simple as asking them how they're feeling that day, asking them how the family is, just kind of letting them know that you have their best interests in mind. And along with that, make sure that, you know, you position yourself as an expert in your field, because you are, as the strength coach, right? So, they're going to come to you with a lot of different stuff. Just be ready to give thoughtful answers, be ready to have a reason for the answer you give them. And again, just let them know that you're there to help them and help further their career. And at the same time, try to always just have a positive outlook and positive attitude. For me, I'm pretty even keel, so I'm not too high and low, which I think is good in baseball specifically, just because when guys come into work with you, they pretty much know what they're getting every day. So, they kind of know how you're going to react to them, how they're going to react to you. And throughout the course of the season, if you can kind of just hammer those things home, and earn guys respect, that it goes a long way to, you know, your success as a strength coach in baseball, where guys are, you know, they look forward to working with you. They know they're going to get something out of it. They know that you're there to help them. If you can kind of do that year after year, then I think you've carved out a pretty successful path for yourself.
Yeah, especially in the baseball setting where we're spending so much time with these guys, bus rides, flights, dugout, stretch, weight room. There's so many opportunities to have good conversations. And if you're providing that presence, like you said, and just being even keel, being the same person every day, they know that, okay, when I go to the strength coach, I can have a conversation with them. They're not going to lose their mind because I brought something up, or they're not going to be distant and not focused on me. They're going to give me their attention, and it's going to be the same thing every single day. And that goes a really, really long way. I do agree with you completely there.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of difficult to quantify sometimes. Like, obviously, as a player in baseball, you can look and there's numbers, right? Hey, I'm having success for a year, I'm not having success for a year. There's a lot of different factors that go into that as well, but as a strength coach, it's not always so cut and dry, you know what I mean? So you just kind of have to gauge it from day to day on what you feel that you need to bring to the table, you know?
Yeah, I think you can tell a lot about a strength coach just by what the players say about them. Sure. And just, you know, hey, this guy's the same guy every day. I can have good conversations with him. He's out there for my best interest in my career. He's a good guy. And in my mind, that's a successful strength coach. Do you have advice for others in the field, maybe young coaches looking to get in, or even older coaches that have just been around for a while who just want to stay on top of things?
Yeah, so I guess I'll touch on both. I think for any younger coaches, just to, whether you're just in baseball or looking to get in baseball or really looking to get in anywhere, it's just to gain experience doing, right? So it doesn't really matter, you know, the degree you have or the sort of this or that certification. That those things obviously are somewhat important, but the more time you can actually get doing the job you want to do, or and being around athletes and going through the day-to-day type of thing, that's going to help much more than anything else you can do, because those are experiences that you can draw back on and say, okay, you know, I've been here before, I've done this, I know how to react, I know how to handle things. So just any way you can, like interning, whatever, get experience doing. As far as coaches, specifically, I guess, baseball, who have been in it a while, just continue to, you know, network with other coaches, I think, is always a good one, which is something I have to be cognizant of, kind of just naturally. I'm more of an introverted person, I think. So whether it's you're playing a series against a strength coach, or you know, you go across and you talk to him, or you're at winter meetings or at a conference, just try to talk to as many people as you can. And whether it's to learn something new or just to kind of catch up on a personal level, just always try to you know, put yourself out there and meet new people in the industry, I think is a good advice.
Yeah, for sure. The gaining experience as a coach, especially as a young coach, goes so far in kind of weeding out what you do and don't want to do. Like, I would never say, you know, turn something down because you're too good for it. Like, if it's a high school coaching job, take it. If it's D3, D1, professional, whatever it is, just gain experience coaching, and then you can kind of figure out, okay, I didn't really like that, but I did like this, so I'm going to pursue this further.
That's a great point as well, because my first year in graduate school, I was interning at George Washington in the strength department, and I was working with some sports that I had not been exposed to, like squash, water polo, I think men's and women's golf, rowing, and yeah, I mean, there's not a lot. You're not going to probably be a pro strength coach in those sports, but this kind of gave you kind of a different look at certain type of athletes and different personalities. But you're always dealing with personalities no matter what sport you're strength coach for, and that's one of the big parts of the job. I was able to work with baseball a little bit, and that's one of the reasons I wanted to get into it. I felt like, hey, I like this. I play baseball, that's something I can look at and say, okay, I kind of want to make a career out of this.
Yeah, I agree 100%, man. When I was in grad school, it was like, give me the keys to the weight room, and myself, two of the GAs, and a couple of the interns, we just, any team that came in, we were working with them. It didn't matter, football, soccer, baseball, softball, tennis, swimming, diving, it didn't matter. It was just experience for us, and I'm so thankful that I did that and kind of narrowed in on, like you said, okay, I want to pursue baseball. I've done these others. I can kind of eliminate those from my thoughts.
Yeah, absolutely, for sure.
And then on the networking side, it's hard, man, like being introverted by nature. Like, I'm honestly, I'm the same way, and it's sometimes I'm like, I feel like I'm bothering people when I reach out to them, you know, to get on the podcast, but you just got to find a way to do it, man. And most strength coaches are really, really good at, you know, wanting to talk shop and wanting to share their experience and everything, where when you reach out, you're like, oh, okay, I was being afraid for no reason, because this guy's awesome. He wants to talk shop, like, and now you have somebody in your network.
Yeah, definitely. Very rarely, if hardly ever, you'll approach somebody and you'll get a bad vibe from him. There's always positive, and always you're glad you did it afterwards.
Yeah, especially in pro bowl, man. We're all kind of in this battle together. We're all grinding it out together, and we all know the stories and the long travel and this and that, and that's why I've been asking the best professional baseball stories, just because we can all relate to it, you know. So, do you have any continuing ed resources for us? Maybe books to read, podcasts to listen to, seminars that you might be attending, just anything for continuing ed?
Yeah, so I guess to start with seminars. Like, last 2 years, our whole staff at the Reds have gone to the winter meetings, as well as the NSCA coaches conference in January. And we just kind of talked about the network, and it's a great opportunity to do that. And you have pretty much 2 or 3 days there. Two or three full days to kind of listen to different talks and get a lot of info. And, you know, whether you're a strength coach out there, and maybe your team, a lot of teams do go, maybe your whole staff goes, maybe you have the option to go, I definitely encourage you to do it. That's definitely a good one there. Podcast, maybe you're like a strength coach out there listening to this one for the first time. This is a great podcast, obviously. An SCA coaches podcast is also good. I think they had Eric McMahon on just recently from the Rangers. And coaches from all different sports as well, just also good aspects there as well.
Yeah, that one is a good one, and Eric's episode in particular was really good. He's a good guy to reach out to and talk shop with, and he had a lot of good stuff on velocity-based training on that one. All right, so I want to do a lightning round with you. I know it's an off day for you. I'm hoping you got a little bit of time for me. What do you got?
For the lightning round?
Yeah, you in?
I'm in. Let's do it.
All right. First one, biggest influence in the field of strength and conditioning, who is it?
That's a good question. I know this is supposed to be lightning. I mean, for right now, I'll go with Gene Coleman, because I've had a couple chances to meet him personally at some of the conferences, but when I was in college, his book, 52-Week Baseball Training, that kind of got me started in thinking about a career in baseball strength coaching.
For sure, yeah, he's a good one. One piece of equipment to train with, what would it be?
The dual cable columns. So, a lot of different things you do there with the pull-up attachment. So it's endless possibilities there.
For sure. Biggest accomplishment professionally and or personally.
Okay. Let's go with, I mean, I guess just professionally, just being able to get my master's in exercise science and my CSCS and RSCC. Obviously, it opens up a lot of opportunities for you, so that's kind of always a good thing to be able to conquer.
Yeah, being able to have a job in the field of your actual degree is honestly one of the most underappreciated things ever.
Yeah, absolutely.
Last one, any career other than strength and conditioning, what would you choose?
I'll say something in the movie industry. My brother he went to college out in Los Angeles, and right now he works for Regal Entertainment, but he did some stuff out in Hollywood as well. So whenever I think I have a cool job, he definitely does some cool stuff there as well.
Would you be like acting, or would you be directing?
No, neither. Probably something more like probably writing. I feel like I have some good ideas, and I don't know if I could put them all down on paper, because writing a script seems kind of daunting, but that'd be something that'd definitely be fun to do, I think.
Gotcha. I got a connection for you. We'll talk after the show.
That sounds good.
All right, man. Well, I appreciate you coming on. If the listeners want to get in touch with you and learn more, where can we go? I'll link that article up, but are you on social media, or is there a better place?
I'm the only one I'm on is Twitter. Just D. Miranda. I don't tweet a ton. I probably need to kind of revamp some my social media presence, but I am on there, so I get a lot of my news and follows from people from there. That's pretty much the only platform.
Cool. Well, I appreciate you spending some time with me, man. It was good to catch up, and we'll talk soon.
Thanks for having me, Chris. Appreciate it.
All right, everybody, that concludes this episode with Joe. I hope you enjoyed this one. I thought we had a really good talk about supplements, and I would highly recommend that you do check out the article that he wrote on the PBSCCS website. Three things that I took from Joe: position yourself as an expert when talking to players, gain experience coaching anywhere you can, and take an interest in your players' lives and careers. With that being said, I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll talk to you again on the next one.